Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. It's so good to be with you. My name is John Lutz. I will be filling in the captain's chair here for Pastor Al. He asked me to fill in for him today. He had to be away with his family and doing some stuff. I think they were in Tahiti or Bahamas or something. No, I'm just kidding. But he'll be back with you, Lord willing, next week here on Live with Pastor Al. And I hope you can stick with us afterwards. Pastor Rusnak will be on at 2 o'clock. And he's always got a great message there from the pulpit, Bible Baptist Temple there in Euclid. And so it's always a joy to be back with you. My name is John Lutz. I pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood, and always count it a privilege to fill in for Pastor Al, and I appreciate the opportunity. We'd love for you to come out and visit us sometimes. We're up there in Lakewood at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood, Ohio, 44107. We're just about one block west of West 117th and Madison, and we're the only church in Lakewood that actually is not on a main road. And we are one block south off of Madison, but we would love for you to come and visit with us. If you have any questions, you can give us a call, 216-521-3800. I do believe Pastor Al and them are having their Bible study tonight at their complex, so make sure you stay tuned, all the information with all the address and everything for you to be able to go out there and join them for their Bible study. And I know that'll be a great, great blessing for them. Well, if you were with us in the last half hour, I was going through a study in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and so I want to go ahead and continue on in that study as we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And we went through some lengthy, just for sake of recap in case you weren't listening, we basically went through and showed there are two main judgments for believers, non-believers. Right, you have the judgment seat of Christ for believers, which is a judgment of the building, how you've built upon the foundation with the life of Christ, and then the great white throne judgment, which is for non-believers, non-rejectors, I should say. Non-believers is a nice term. They've rejected the word of God. They've rejected the truth. They have no foundation, so it's an inspection of foundation. But in all reality, it's already a condemnation of the foundation because they have no foundation with God, and so they are cast in the lake of fire forever. And I tell you, I plead with you, I beg of you, to seek after the truth. God does not want you to go there. He never created hell for anything other than the devil and his angels. And you, my friend, are not one of his angels. You may act like it, you may look like it, but we are not angels. We are men, and we have the chance at redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I beg with you, and I plead with you to seek after the truth. You will find it in Jesus Christ. He is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. And by the way, no man comes unto the Father but by him. There's no other way. Religion cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. Your baptism, your tithing, your feeding the poor cannot save you. Only Jesus can, and that's the only foundation that's going to be, by the way, accepted or required in order to go to heaven. But listen, that great white throne judgment, it's already too late. There's no place found for them. And so they're cast in the lake of fire. So we talked about getting ourselves ready for the judgment seat of Christ as believers. First thing we have to do is we have to be consumed with heaven. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we talked about that, groaning, that we're groaning to be clothed with the life of Christ in spite of our mortality, that the mortality would be swallowed up, devoured, that these temporal things of the world would not bother us anymore, no matter how difficult or deadly or distressing the news is. We're just consumed with heaven, heaven's grace, heaven's peace, heaven's life, heaven's living and thinking. And so we have to be consumed with heaven. And then secondly, we talked about we have to be confident in the promises of God's words. And confidence, we said, is not an emotion that you talk yourself, you give yourself a little pep talk. Well, I feel confident today. Well, usually if you say, I feel confident today, is we're trying to talk ourselves into it. It's not an emotion. It's an evidence. Confidence is the evidence of trusting God. I'm confident. Nobody could ever talk me out of my salvation, ever. You know why? Because the Lord gave it to me and the Lord keeps it. And I know it to be true because the Spirit itself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I have total confidence. You pull out a gun and shoot me today, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of God's promises. It doesn't matter. So be confident. You have to be confident in the promises of God's word. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if he asks with doubt, without faith, then what happens is the Bible says, God says he'll receive nothing. And so we've got to be confident in God's word. The problem with that today is there is such a multitude of perversions out there of God's words and apparently credible men and women who are advocating for these different versions of the Bible. So from the very church houses, we have undermined the ability or the authority of trusting God because of these fakes and phonies that stand up before their people. And they use these different versions. They're not even versions of the Bible. They're not the same. And things that are different are not the same. And so how do you put confidence in something that's always changing? I mean, goodness, the NIV, when it came out, you know, 25 years ago, when they did the revision 5-6 years ago, the one guy said, well, we're going to get it right this time. So what you're saying is when that Bible came out and you said it was a good translation, people were putting what? False hope, false trust, and false promises? What was it? Because now you said we're going to get it right now. So you obviously are admitting it was wrong. So you trained a whole bunch of people to trust things that were wrong. And yet they're walking around thinking they're right. It's a mess. We are a mess. I don't know how it can get any worse in this quote-unquote church age. I can't imagine God's going to let this thing go on much further because the whole lump is almost totally leavened. I mean, I know there's always a remnant. God's going to pull that remnant out of here until he flips the switch back over to Israel. But I don't know how it can get any worse. I mean, in our Baptist churches today, I know Baptist churches that they aren't even all using just King James Bibles anymore. It's ludicrous to think that. How can somebody put confidence into something that constantly changes? Well, let me remind you of a verse in Malachi. I think it's Malachi 3:6 maybe. I am the Lord, I change not, right? His word is immutable. God is an immutable God. He cannot change. He will not change. By the way, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thank God he doesn't change. Thank God he doesn't wake up right now and say, I think I'm going to change the way people are saved. Thank God that's not going to happen. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed his mind on who's a man and who's a woman. He hasn't changed his mind on what marriage is. Oh, pastors and preachers do. We got it all over Lakewood. Oh, Lakewood, man, they would do sodomy marriages all the time. You know, I'm sure they would. They put doors up with multicolored doors asking them all to come in. You know, that's got to be a smack in the face to those who don't believe that and go to those churches. I don't know why those people stay there. I don't know why they don't stand up and say, this is wrong. You know, there was a time, you know, well before my life, that you read about historical events that some of the other denominations, they were pretty straight on the gospel. They weren't messing around with this sodomite marriage and all this nonsense, gender stuff and transgenderism and transvestites. Yeah, I was hitting that one pretty hard on Sunday, and a transvestite walked in our church right about noon, right at the end. And so you say, what'd you do, preacher? I preach repentance. I know them. They're in the neighborhoods. Guy looking like a girl, trying to be a girl. And I said, you need to repent of that lifestyle. We're confident. God's right. And his word is right. But the preachers, false teachers, have undermined the authority. So people have a lot less confidence in God now. And our young people are turning away from God. Don't think what's going on in Kentucky is a turning to God. And what's going on in Kentucky right now? They're doing the Holy Eucharist. You know it's not holy. They're doing the Eucharist down there. Do you understand that? Let me repeat that. So what are you, Catholic now? You okay with that? You okay with all the 11 out of 12 women preachers? preaching that revival. You okay with that when the Bible says that that's not supposed to happen? You okay with that? So what do you put confidence in? Confidence is not an emotion. It is an evidence, okay? So if we're going to prepare ourselves for the judgment seat of Christ, we've got to be consumed with heaven. We've got to be confident in the promises of God's word. We have to be conscious of our coming appearance before the judgment seat. Something as simple as, oh, I'm going to stand before God one day. Could you imagine if you just had that thought before you committed sin tonight when you go out and you're hanging out with the buddies and you're hanging out with this and you think, man, I'm going to go over here, one little drink, wait a minute, I'm going to stand before God one day. Just being conscious. Over and over, we are told to awake. Romans 13, awake. Your salvation is nearer than now from when you believe. Mark, Matthew, Luke, watch and pray. 1 Thessalonians, watch and be sober. 1 Corinthians 15, watch and basically witness. Witness for the Lord and be awake and sin not. It's as simply as being conscious of the fact, alert, aware, attentive, that we're going to stand before God one day and we're going to be called into account. See, it's not going to be like your job where you get to try to talk your way out of it. It's not going to be like, you know, a teenager talking his way out of trying to manipulate the circumstance because we're limited on our understanding. Your boss may be limited on their understanding. Your spouse is limited on their understanding. So you might be able to try to talk your way out when there's an accountability issue going on. But not with God. You're not going to talk your way out of it. God knows not only what you did and what you're doing and why you're doing it. He knows why you're doing it. Be conscious of that we are going to stand before God one day. That we labor. Why? Seeking God's approval. His pleasure. Do you realize, I know I talk about this a lot, but do you realize that when you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, by the way, those are the requirements, holy and acceptable. Getting tattooed, there ain't nothing holy about getting tattoos. There ain't nothing holy about going out to bars saying you're a Christian and dancing and dressing around like dressing like you shouldn't be and doing things and drinking. There ain't nothing Christian about that. That's not holy. Present your body a living sacrifice. Sacrifice implies a loss. It implies a dedication. It implies it's messy. It's bloody. They would bring the sacrifice. It hurt. There was some cost involved. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. God has standards. God has standards by which he accepts and approves. And he says, be not conformed to, oh, by the way, which is your reasonable service. That's what we're all supposed to do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you realize that when I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, I'm not conformed to the world. I renew my mind according to the scriptures. I will be the proof of what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think some people look at that verse and they say, well, let me prove it and see what it is and what it isn't. No, 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 no. You got that all messed up. If you follow after the Lord, he said he would make you to become. You will be the proof of the, I'm going to know what God's will is in my life. Oh, great. Then present your body a living sacrifice, holy, by the way, and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you'll prove what God's will is. You will actually live and flesh out God's will. That's what that verse means. Are you conscious of the fact that you're going to stand before God one day? Does it even enter your mind throughout the day, that you're going to stand before God one day as a believer? Well, bless God, I'm under Jesus' righteousness, man. It's going to be a smooth, hey, I'm going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen to me. If you ain't done well, you ain't going to hear the words, well done. And for you to think you're going to hear the words, well done, when you haven't done well, you got a lot of pride in your heart. First of all, nobody deserves to hear that. Me as an individual never looks at my life and says, well, I deserve to hear that. I want to. Don't get me wrong. I want to hear those. I hope I hear those words. Watch this. Here's the promise. If I do it God's way, I will hear those words. And I will appreciate them and I'll be so thankful because that means I've done things right. But to sit here and think you deserve to hear that? Well, you don't know my struggles, preacher. Yeah, I don't know. I know Jesus' struggles, and I know you ain't struggling like Jesus. I promise you that. But one day we're going to stand before God. Are you conscious of it? If you're going to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Christ, you have to be conscious of our soon coming appearance. By the way, that's why it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Can I tell you the fourth thing you have to do if you're going to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Christ? You got to be concerned with the spiritual state of others. We're too concerned about the welfare, the physical welfare of others today. And we use the feeding of the 5,000 to justify. Well, you know, Jesus had to feed the multitudes. Yeah, but they had been following him for 3 days before he fed them. You're just finding people in the street and you're feeding them and you feel good about yourself. And by the way, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But we're talking about the spiritual state. That homeless guy who sometimes, by the way, wants to be homeless. He wants to live that way, but many do not. I'm not impugning that. There are some that don't want to be out there, and that happens. But are you more concerned about him dying, going to hell, or just having food in his belly? Yeah, it's amazing. I heard one of the gurus, you know, the financial gurus, stood on a stage, and he said that a big tip is more important to your waitress. A big tip is more important to your waitress than a gospel tract. Are you kidding me? That big tip she's going to leave behind no matter what. So it's okay she goes and dies and goes to hell, but you just give her a good tip. And some of you are listening to them for your financial advice. It's crazy. Be concerned with the spiritual state of others. We persuade men. We try to convince men not to believe the falsehoods, but to believe the truth. We persuade. We have to be concerned with the spiritual state of others. This is what drives me nuts about false teachers. There's people even on this station at times teaching false things. Now, they have a right to do it, but they're going to stand before God there too. But it drives me nuts. I talk to people all the time, even at our church, that are looking for some certain experiences that are not going to happen. They're not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And those who teach those experiences to look for or some validation are false teachers. That's what they are. They are false. I've talked to people in the last 18 years. I've never had the experience of talking in tongues. Well, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. I'm glad you haven't. Not as the world defines it, because what the world defines as tongues is a devilish spirit. That's what it is. So you want to have a devilish spirit? No, thank you. That's not God's spirit. God's clear on this matter. So don't look for something just because some preacher says it. You better judge it according to the Word of God. And you better, there's so much with that. I'm not even going to go down that road again because we have so often. But I'm concerned about that. People come to me and say, well, why can't this happen? Well, you know, God can do anything he wants, but God has, throughout generations, God has limited himself sometimes in how he deals with people. He speaks to us through his Son today. He speaks to us through his Word today. That's why the devil has always attacked the Word of God. We need to be concerned with the spiritual state of others. I want to see people who are saved live right and do right and choose right. So to do that, we teach them the Bible. That's why churches are supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We get them saved, we get them baptized. That's teaching them to observe the scriptures, to follow and obey the scriptures. The life today is about obedience. It's not about experience. Are you obeying? If ye love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say if you love me, feel my commandments, feel good about my commandments, think good about yourself. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We must be concerned with the spiritual state of others. Because so many today, the Bible says in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, that this know also perilous times shall come. Now, I know this chapter is, you know, we use it a lot. It couples with Romans chapter 1. But in 2 Timothy 3, what Paul is teaching is the reprobate culture of the churches that will exist in the last days. Verse 8 of 2 Timothy 3, reprobate concerning the faith. This isn't the unsaved living the way they want it and the debauchery and the wickedness. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is those who claim to be Christians who are now lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud. So let me get this right. If the salt loses its savor, what does it become? Good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And I would submit to you, that's where we're at today in our quote unquote churches around the world. Is why? Because we've become lovers of our own selves. We've stopped going out soul winning. Now, our church hasn't. We go out every week, Lord willing. There's a few weeks we take off and give our time, last Saturday of the month. We did that this year. But every Saturday during the week, we're going. We're talking about the Lord. Why? Because it's all about eternity. It's all about the spiritual state of others. That's why you pass out tracts. That's why we have church services. That's why we hold revival services. That's why we do all kinds of things to get people under the sound of the gospel, to persuade them to be saved, and if they are saved, to be living right. Why? Because that is the answer for the individual. It is the answer for personal success and prosperity. Did not Joshua tell us that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth or thy son's mouth or seed's mouth, but you shall observe to do all that is written therein. Then thy way shall be prosperous and thou shalt have good success. We've got to be concerned with the spiritual state of others. Are they going to heaven? Are they saved? If they are saved, are they living right? Are they honoring God with their life? Are they living the life of Christ? Or are they living the life of one experience to the other experience? And that's why they're so defeated and so deflated, because they've been taught, well, you just abracadabra, say A, B, C, and God will do D. But when God doesn't do D because you did A, B, C, you lose faith in God. Nothing could cause the faith and this foundation of faith to shake to a Bible believer and one who believes it and obeys it and is living the Word of God. And those who live the Word of God are following God. And here's what Jesus said. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I'll make you to become soul winners. I'll make you to become so you are conscious that your actions could affect the way somebody hears the gospel, believes the gospel, and so you must conduct yourself in a way that is exemplary, that you give your life a ransom for many, as what the definition of a minister is, that you be concerned with the spiritual state of others. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Let me ask this question. What has your life persuaded men to do? As a parent, the things you've allowed into your life, what have you persuaded your children to do? I remember the old advertisement about the father coming in. Where'd you learn how to do drugs? From you, Dad. What have you taught your children? What have you persuaded your children in? To persuade them to do the wrong thing or persuade them to do the right thing? Say, well, of course I wouldn't teach them that. No, but actions do speak louder than words. Your attitude towards the church will reflect in the next generation of how they think about the church. See, we're not thinking about the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. We ought to be. If we were, guess what? You'd never miss another church service unless you were on your deathbed. You'd never miss. You wouldn't take jobs. You wouldn't take work in light of going to church. It wouldn't happen. Because you'd be consumed with heaven. You'd be consumed with confident in God's word. You'd be so saturated with the fact that I'm going to stand before God one day and that my decisions are going to affect other people and what they perceive of God and maybe what they believe about God. Guys, we got to get ourselves ready for the judgment seat of Christ. It's coming. It's coming. No matter whether you believe it or not, it's coming. Because it's in the Bible. It's God's word. So let's get ourselves ready. If you're not saved, trust Christ today. There is no other way to heaven but through the righteousness of Christ. I hope you'll trust him today. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko is coming up next. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.